Welcome into a daily editorial here on the KE Report. I am chatting with Chris Kimball, founder and editor of Kimball Charting Solutions. And Chris and I are going to talk about four different charts that he sent me over. Actually, five, because the first chart that we're going to go over is two charts and one. And I will be posting all of these charts below this interview. So if you're listening to this on our podcast, please be sure to use your phone. Go to our website, kereport.com, and follow along with these charts, because then you can see very clearly how these charts are setting up. The first one that you sent over to me here, Chris, is a gold monthly chart and a silver monthly chart. It shows the downtrend lines that have been in place ever since really that peak in 2011. And it shows that how close both of these metals are to finally breaking above this downtrend line. It's not quite there yet, but what do you have to say about how close it is? It really just needs a little bit more to move above this long-term downtrend line.
Corey, thanks for having us back. And, you know, you're exactly right. I like starting out with your listeners or even with my own customers, kind of looking at the 30,000 foot view. And I like these monthly charts. And for the most part, everyone, you know, gold and silver on a monthly basis have almost made double bottoms in what, Corey, 2016 and 18. And then they've come off of that and they've pushed up and they're up against long-term falling resistance. And so, you know, for the most part, for years, this is where both metals have disappointed people. And somewhere along the line, the disappointment will turn to surprise. You know, but as we've talked many times on the radio show, this is kind of one of the Boy Scout charts. You know, you need to be prepared and have a game plan in case, you know, these breakouts would take place.
So looking at this monthly chart, because we did just have that monthly close, what would it take in terms of a monthly move above this downtrend line? Because it does have such a big, steep slope that even a sideways move would still break this line. But to me, a sideways move isn't necessarily bullish for a market that has been in this sort of a downtrend.
Great, great point, Corey. This would be a starting point. And I think the bigger thing that is more important to listeners, I think, Corey, it's around the 385. You know, let's just call it, 1390. Let's just call it that. That's the two prior highs that gold has peaked out on a horizontal basis. Because as we all know, if you draw a downward sloping line, even if something goes to almost down to zero, if it barely turns up, it's going to break those lines. So I think, you know, the most important one is, you know, it's kind of ironic, you know, you're talking to a lot of different people, Corey, but would it be true that gold's almost performed as well as silver of late, or almost outperformed it, you know, recently?
It has for a while, and that's kind of the thing, is that everyone's waiting for silver to start outperforming, but gold for a precious metal has really been the standout.
Yeah, it has. And so I'm completely with you that if we, you know, the, I guess the best thing that we would love to see is what, 1390, Corey, would be what, $70, $80 above current prices. So it'd still be another 5% rally it would take to get above the last few years' highs. And I think that would be, you know, the really mother load test is, could it get above, you know, there. And of course, silver, you know, the prior high in what, 16 was almost close to what, $20, you know, so it's still, it could actually rally a while before it hits that resistance versus gold is just, you know, roughly 5% away.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Gold is the closest out of all the precious metals and even the ETFs of the underlying precious metal stocks. Gold is still the closest to breaking out. The rest still have a lot of work to do. The second chart that we have here is the Aussie dollar, a monthly chart. You can look at some of these other currencies outside the US dollar as a barometer for some of the precious metals. The Aussie dollar is one of those, and it is touching this uptrending channel, but the lower part of this channel, and it just created a bullish wick. Please explain the significance of the bullish wick at the bottom of this channel.
Great points, Corey. As again, looking at this chart, everyone, when you get a chance to see it, we're going back into the early 1990s. And so it's easy probably for metals bulls or metals fans because of the frustration for what, the last 8 years. But if you get in the 30,000 foot view and you look at this, You know, there is a long-term upward trend in whether it's gold, silver, or this highly correlated commodity, you know, Corey. And so the big picture is the Aussie dollar that's highly correlated has created a series of higher lows and higher highs, you know, for a couple of decades now. And it hit the top of this channel in 2011. So now we've come down for 9 years. So the thing that interests me most, you know, Corey, is that it's touching the bottom of the rising channel. It's also at the same level as the 2016 lows. And as we, today being the last day of the month, I do like the monthly patterns to look at them, that there was really a very large bullish reversal pattern that's taken place at this support line. And we all know that 1 month doesn't make a trend, nor does one reversal pattern, but it's fascinating to see this, you know, the bears tried to break both of these, Corey, this in the month of January, and so far they didn't succeed.
Which is very noteworthy, and this chart really shows it, as you said, from the big picture perspective. If this is a bullish reversal pattern, then this could be very positive for the metals as well. And it also ties into the fact that if you look at the, let's say, gold price in other currencies outside of the US dollar, it's actually much closer to those highs from back in 2011 than we see on that actual chart where it's judged in US dollars. Let's also look at GLD, the gold ETF. You are outlining this chart that goes back to about 2008, and it shows this pennant formation. It's a tighter and tighter trading range that gold has been in, something that I've mentioned that it's been in here for 5 years now, putting a potential basing pattern. What do you think? Is this a basing pattern, or could we potentially see a breakdown below this pennant formation?
Well, the fun thing is from 09, it has created a series of higher lows, and I want to just have full disclosure to, you know, your listeners. We are long gold. When you see this chart, we bought it back in October, Corey, as you know, while it was hitting support. And on this chart, everyone, we also applied relative momentum. So in October this past year, relative momentum was as oversold as it had been since, 6 years ago. And this rising support line came into play. And so it's now at the top of this pennant that you just discussed, you know, Corey. And so we did take a little profits today. We still have the majority of our long position. So, you know, we have a bias that we're long. But just from a technical analysis perspective, we've now set the stop about 130 basis points below the top of this narrowing pennant pattern. In other words, you know, everyone, if gold would drop like a 150 basis points, we'd be taking our profits on the position. But we want to give it a chance, even though it's overvalued right now on a momentum basis. In case it breaks out, we do want some exposure. But if it would pull its frustrating reversal up here, we'd take our profits off the table.
Okay, that's very interesting to me, because the GLD chart is very much like the gold chart in the terms of gold is getting very close to being overbought on a daily chart, on a weekly chart. That leads some people to say that, you know what, a pullback is normal and natural, which it is, but there is that potential when you're in overbought territory of a full-on breakout. It sounds like you think that, not guaranteeing that it'll happen, but it stands a chance, which is why you're holding that position and having that stop a bit lower down.
That's correct, Corey. If we didn't want to give it a chance, we just would have sold all the position. You know, today we just sold a small portion of it, so still have the majority of the position. But, you know, a 130 basis point stop's pretty tight. You know, so we've had a nice run of since the purchase of almost 9%. That's not bad in 100 days. And I don't want to give too much of it back if gold would happen to disappoint us at resistance.
All right, let's go over to this final chart, which looks at the 10-year yield monthly. So this is the TNX chart. The yields have been falling since 1981 and at this declining line. We see different stock peaks, and this was another example of when yields climbed and touched that, well, this downtrend line in 2018, they have started to roll over. Does this correlate to a falling U.S. market going along with falling yields?
It really could, Corey. It's. I wanted to bring this chart up due to me how interesting it is, but also, you know, in the States, there was the Fed announcement yesterday that, and everybody's being, some people like it, some are being critical that, you know, what, 6 weeks ago, 2 months ago, the Fed was all gung-ho on raising rates, and now they're saying they're backing off. But regardless of what the Fed's doing, as you mentioned, Corey, for, geez, what, 3 decades now, we've just seen lower highs, lower highs, lower highs, and lower highs. And it does form this falling resistance line. And the last two times prior to October the 1st of this last year, the last two times that yields got closest to this line was in 2000 and 07. And we all know that's when stocks struggled as yields actually fell. And so as this line was hit again in September, October of 2018, yields started rolling over. So I put this roller coaster at the top of the first hill, it kind of looks like, as an image on here. Yields have, as you just mentioned, Corey, kind of rolled over slightly in the last 100 days, but they're testing a key support point. And I think yields are kind of in a rock and a hard spot, you know, with America having, what is it now, Corey? Do we hear 20 trillion? It doesn't matter. It's a bunch of money and debt that, you know, on the flip side, you know, you'd almost say, well, if rates would break this resistance line, it'd probably be good for stocks. And in some ways, that's true because it would show economic strength. And actually, maybe metals would like that if it would break, you know, that resistance line. But I just kind of want to keep people in mind of this, that if yields are testing support here, that if they would actually break down, we could actually see, you know, that the rally that we've seen really strong in stocks since Christmas Day, you know, could be at a short-term peak. So I'd really encourage people to watch yields closely at this inflection point.
All right, and there you have it from Chris Kimball. Again, KimballChartingSolutions.com. I will be posting all of these charts that Chris has shared with us. And I think in summary, we can be encouraged at a lot of these precious metals charts. They are so close to breaking out, but they haven't broken out yet. And actually, gold is pretty much right at an overbought level. So a little bit of a pullback could very much be expected and healthy. But if we do get that break above a lot of these downtrend lines, that will be an even more bullish sign that I think finally we'll start to get some of these other investors in the market. Chris, good chatting with you. Thanks again for sharing some of the charts that you share with your subscribers.
Thanks, Corey. See everyone next week.